Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greatings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Our telephone number, 866-303-2270. Our live free chat room over at tomhartman.com. Live video stream at airamerica.com. Today is the 200th birthday of both Abraham Lincoln and Charles Darwin. And we are going to have a couple of conversations about Darwin in our second hour. In our third hour, well, actually toward the end of our second hour, in our Geeky Science Rocks, the relationship between oxytocin and orgasm. This is fascinating stuff. Thomas Girardi is going to be with us in our third hour. We're going to be talking about toxic torts, how to battle corporate America. How do you take on corporate America? But here, and our quote for the day, by the way, see, given as this is the 200th birthday of Darwin, and the 150th birthday, by the way, of the publication of The Origin of Species, Darwin's seminal book. Our quote of the day is from Charles Darwin, Charles Robert Darwin. The fact of evolution is the backbone of biology, and biology is thus in the peculiar position of being a science founded on an improved theory. Is it therefore then a science or a faith? Question mark. End of quote, Charles Darwin. We'll get to that. But right now, I want to start out with some of the news today. A couple of things that I picked up out of the Financial Times, just and you know, broadly speaking, the economic news. We saw the financial stimulus package was passed. Almost half of this thing is tax cuts, which are going to do very, very little to stimulate anything, if at all. And much of that, well over half of that, went to the top 20% of wage earners in the United States in changes to the alternative minimum tax. So we have a stimulus package that's only semi-stimulating. We have Harry Reid saying, coming right out and saying that he believes that his job is to compromise. And I'll have that audio clip for you in a little bit here. And believe it or not, you know, Harry Reid coming right out and saying that, and that legislation is the art of compromise. And I'm sorry, it's not. Legislation is the art of getting bills passed, laws passed. And people say, well, you know, you should maintain the 60-vote filibuster rule in the Senate. After all, this was put into place in 1917 to prevent excesses in the Senate as part of the progressive and populist revolution that was sweeping the country at that time. Well, yeah, maybe. But I would say, and back then it was two-thirds, and then in the 1960s, as I recall, or maybe it was the 70s, it was changed to three-fifths, to 60 votes from 66 votes. But or what was then, you know, it's varied over the years as the number of states has increased. But anyhow, you get the point. I would submit that we don't need the filibuster rule any longer. We just don't need it. If Harry Reid is unwilling to enforce it, then blow the damn thing up. It only takes 51 votes to do away with it, the so-called nuclear option. Blow it up. And people say, oh, but then the Senate can do anything it wants with just a majority. You'll have the tyranny of the majority. Yes, tyranny of the majority is called democracy. And if you want a check on the United States Senate, that check is called the House of Representatives. Nothing that the Senate does becomes law until it goes through conference with the House of Representatives. And if you want a check on both of them, on all of Congress, that's called the executive branch. The president has to sign it into law or has the power to veto it. And if you want a check on that, it's called the Supreme Court. We have a system of checks and balances. We don't need to have a monkey wrench in this thing. These are critical times. These are crucial times. And if we've got an incompetent guy running the United States Senate, or somebody who, by virtue of my definition of incompetence, that he thinks that the art of legislation is compromise instead of getting things done, then let's go around him. Let's make it so that you don't need 60 votes. You can do it with 51 votes because the Democrats have 58 votes in the Senate. This is nuts. But anyway, back to the news of the day. China. This and the front page of today's Financial Times. China to stick with U.S. bonds. China will continue to buy U.S. Treasury bonds. See, there's this concern. We're going to have to sell $2 trillion worth of Treasury bonds in the next 12 to 18 months. $2 trillion worth. Is there enough money out there in the world to soak that up, to buy it? Or are interest rates going to start going through the roof because we have to pay higher and higher rates to get people to buy our debt? Well, that second question has not been answered. But apparently the first one is being answered by China. Today, Henny Sender in New York writing in the Financial Times, China says that they will continue to buy U.S. Treasury bonds even though China knows the dollar will depreciate. In other words, inflation is coming. Because such investments remain its only option in a perilous world, a senior Chinese banking regulator said yesterday. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. The senior Chinese banking regulator is a guy named Luo Ping. He's the director general of their banking regulatory commission, sort of like the head of our SEC and a co-cabinet seat as in the Treasury Department rolled into one. Keep in mind, China is not a democracy. It's an autocracy, an authoritarian, semi-communistic government. And so it runs somewhat different than ours does, to say the very least. They are now, by the way, the world's largest holder of U.S. treasuries already. They're sitting at about some guesses as high as $2 trillion, certainly at least $1 trillion of U.S. treasuries already. So here's what Mr. Ping has to say. Keep in mind, this is the guy who's in charge of whether or not China buys our treasuries. This is the guy who holds our financial fate in his hands as a consequence of 28 years of insane Reaganomic policies, David Stockman's, you know, starve the beast, and Grover Norquist, drown government in a bathtub, tax cuts. Why are we cutting taxes? That's cutting revenue to the government. That means we have to borrow even more from China, which makes it even crazier that we passed a tax bill that had tax cuts in it. But nonetheless, this is the guy, if we're going to have our tax cuts, or if the three Republicans who are defining the tune for all of the Democrats in the United States Senate are going to have their damn tax cuts, So we have to borrow more money from China. Here's what the guy in China, who has the final say.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Tom Hartman here. You've heard me talk a lot about the special men's vitamin called Beta Prostate. I keep bringing it up because every single man listening should take care of their prostate health. When you're younger, your prostate gland is about the size of a walnut, but as you grow older, it can swell up to the size of a lemon. This could mean getting up at night for bathroom trips, difficulty urinating, even sexual dysfunction. So you got to see your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate every day. Not too long ago, we invited the formulator of Beta Prostate, research chemist Roger Mason, on my show. He told us that prostate problems are a growing epidemic, and statistics say that 3/4 of all American men will eventually have prostate problems. And now Roger Mason will be extending his special offer, buy two, get one free. And he's even throwing in his book, The Natural Prostate Cure, for free, plus a money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-954-0803. 0803. That's 1-800-954-0803. Call now because this is an amazing value. 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
What is wrong with this man, Michael Steele?
Randy Rhodes.
First of all, he told congressional Republicans the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful. And then he attacked Democrats for being the obstructionist.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
And the only thing worse than stupidity is being proud of your stupidity.
3 to 6.
And the only thing worse than being proud about your stupidity is being proud and hypocritical about your stupidity.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. Thanks to KPOJ listeners, last month, Eyes on Broadway collected dozens of pairs of eyeglasses that will be distributed in March when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru to perform eye exams. If it's been more than a year since you've had your eyes checked, call Eyes on Broadway today at 503-284-2300 to schedule an appointment. Eyes on Broadway is a proud supporter of Progressive Radio, which is just one reason why I've been a loyal patient for 8 years. Call 284-2300 or visit eyesonbroadway.com.
Is your computer running slowly? Does it take more than 3 seconds for your email to load? Are you getting pop-ups? How about spam? Well, if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, your computer and your privacy are at risk. Because these are the telltale signs of a virus. It'll only get worse until you act. Get a free diagnosis at mycleanpc.com and optimize your PC.
I got the free diagnosis, and now my computer is lightning fast.
My computer never crashes anymore.
Talk about optimization. My computer isn't even this fast at work.
mycleanpc.com will remove spyware, viruses, and virus-infected emails, all while optimizing your PC performance. It's all-in-one protection, and it's been raved about by USA Today and Computer World. The diagnosis is free. Just log on to mycleanpc.com. Even if you have antivirus software, your computer could still be infected. Find out instantly with a free comprehensive diagnosis at mycleanpc.com. If your computer is running slowly or you're still getting pop-ups, you need to get your free diagnosis from mycleanpc.com. That's mycleanpc.com.
These days, your budget's really feeling the heat. But Family Fun doesn't have to cost much at all when you make it by the pitcherful with Kool-Aid. For the price of one bottle of soda, you can mix up 5 big pitchers of Kool-Aid. And for pennies a glass, keep the whole family refreshed and smiling. At that price, maybe the whole neighborhood. Kool-Aid instead of soda. As always, delivering more smiles per gallon.
I'm pediatrician Dr. Bob Sears. Recent warnings advise against the use of cold medications for children due to serious side effects and data suggesting that they don't work. Now parents wonder what they can do to keep their kids healthy. My advice is not a drug. It's a natural dietary supplement not intended to treat disease but to optimize sinus and immune health. Sinupret for Kids has been Europe's sinus solution for 35 years due to its clinical trials, safety, and effectiveness. I trust Sinupret for Kids, and you will too. Learn more at sinupretforkids.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Well, it's Friday the 13th, so I guess anything that can go wrong will go wrong, and just did go wrong. You were hearing the beginning of our show from yesterday. We were having a few technical problems, as they say in the business, but they are resolved. Senator Bernie Sanders on the phone line with us, and it being Friday, it's our national town hall with Senator Sanders. Bernie, you there?
I'm right here, Tom.
Oh, great.
How are you?
Great. I'm just fine. Tim Geithner, politics, what's going on?
There's so much that's going on here in Washington now. We could, go on for 5 hours. But let me just briefly touch on some of the issues. Today, my understanding is at 5, 6, 7 o'clock, the Senate will be voting on the stimulus package. I'm certainly going to be voting for it. It is not everything that I wanted, but there is no question. And I want everybody to understand this. This is a significant step forward, in fact, in moving America in a new direction. After 8 disastrous years of President Bush, in which the major economic focus was to give tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires while the middle class sank, while poverty increased, while Americans lost their health insurance, their pensions, decent-paying jobs, this is the beginning effort to try to change the national priorities in this country. Tragically, it's coming forward at a moment when we face so many huge economic problems. The goal right now, frankly, is to do everything that we can to prevent this country going from the very deep Bush recession that we're currently in into a depression. Because if you fall into a depression, it will take a very, very long time and just tremendous human suffering for us to get out of. What we want to do now is in the next several years is create 3 or 4 million good-paying jobs by addressing the unmet needs facing the American people. And to a very significant degree, this legislation does that. We are going to create jobs by rebuilding the crumbling infrastructure facing our country. For years, Tom, People have been talking, engineers and others have been talking about the serious problems we have in terms of our bridges, in terms of our roads, in terms of our water systems, in terms of our culverts. This bill, this legislation, will pour billions of dollars in creating good-paying jobs addressing that crisis. Going back 30 years, as you well know, Tom, because you have been a strong voice on this issue, we have talked about the need to become energy independent and break our dependency on foreign oil. Where I think last year we spent something like $700 billion importing oil from dictators and anti-American people abroad. This legislation begins. It begins. It's not going to end, but it's an important step forward in moving us to energy efficiency, major weatherization projects. We have legislation in here that is being funded, which will help cities and towns and counties move to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. So this legislation will provide significant help for those working families who have been hit hard by this recession, who have lost their health care, have lost their homes. We're going to expand health care. We're going to expand unemployment. We're going to take care of the most vulnerable people in this country, people who literally are wondering whether or not they are going to be able to eat adequately over the coming months. So we're going to expand Pell Grant programs. Right now in America, in my state of Vermont, many middle-class families are very worried about whether or not they're going to be able to send their kids to college. We're putting something like $15 billion into increasing Pell Grants. For years, the federal government has not kept its commitment towards special education for our public schools, which means that schools have had to spend substantial sums of money on special ed. Autism is a growing problem in this country. Not have enough money to take care of the basic educational needs, raise property taxes. We are putting a whole lot of money into school districts, into states to help them with their current fiscal crises. Now, you know, when you go through an 800-page legislation, our opponents are going to pick out this issue and they're going to pick out that issue, and I'm sure this bill is not perfect. But this bill begins to move us forward in addressing so many of the issues that Bush and his friends ignored for many years. And I want to make one contrast. President Bush and many of the Republican leadership today want to repeal the estate tax. If you repeal the estate tax today, what you will provide is about $1 trillion of benefits, tax breaks, that go to whom? You know who gets those benefits, Tom? The top 0.3%.
Yeah, I suspect.
99.7% of the American people wouldn't get a nickel, cost about $1 trillion over a 10-year period.
Yeah.
So you hear Republicans coming to the floor of the House and the Senate saying, oh, this bill is spending all kinds of money. Yeah, we are spending money, no question about it. We're spending somewhere around $800 billion rebuilding America. Putting 3 to 4 million people to work makes a lot more sense to me than spending $1 trillion on the top 0.3% so that the richest people in this country can become even richer. So I will very strongly support this legislation. I mean, again, it's an 800-page bill. There are a whole lot of topics and areas that are covered. I want to mention just a couple that we've worked very hard on. I come from a very rural state, and in our nation, in Vermont, we're not doing all that we should be doing in terms of primary health care. Our nation not only has 46 million people without any health insurance, you have even more than that who don't have access to a doctor or a dentist or primary health care. What this legislation does, and we've worked very, very hard on this with Senator Harkin and many other people, is expands the community health center concept. So we're going to be able to build more community health centers. We're going to staff them up better. There's money in there for the National Health Service, of course, so we're finally going to get doctors and dentists out to medically underserved area and provide millions more Americans with good quality primary health care. That's an issue that is very, very important to me. So there are a lot of issues out there. I think this legislation is a very, very good step forward in addressing the immediate economic crisis that we're facing and also moving America in a very different direction than we've been in the last 8 years.
Yeah. Bernie, I'd like to get your response to James Gorman. He is the co-president of Morgan Stanley. yesterday or day before yesterday on a conference call with his people. He was telling them, don't worry, we've got the tens of billions of dollars from the federal government. This is my language, not his. And we are going to be paying your bonuses. But
number one, there will be a retention award. Please do not call it a bonus. It is not a bonus. It is an award.
So, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's Claire McCaskill of Missouri and I have been working on this issue, and I have proposed in this legislation, which did not get passed, that nobody in financial services who's receiving federal government money, bailout money, should receive more than the President of the United States, which is $400,000. We got a much weaker version in that. The idea, Tom, that these guys who help destroy our economy, help millions of Americans lose their job, while they were engaged in on Wall Street in reckless, irresponsible, and I think probably illegal behavior, they continue using taxpayer money to provide bonuses to themselves is absolutely beyond comprehension. Tim Geithner, who's the Secretary of Treasury, came before the Budget Committee, which I served the other day, and my point to him was, why are we retaining, as the CEOs of these major corporations, of these major financial institutions, the same cast of characters that led us down this path and have brought our economy to the verge of a depression? And I don't see the sense of that. If the taxpayers are putting hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars into bailing these guys out, we need new management. We need people who understand that the function of Wall Street is not just to make huge compensation packages for the CEOs, but to get money flowing into small businesses, into our communities around this country, so we can start rebuilding our economy and creating paying jobs.
Your friend Peter DeFazio, Congressman Peter DeFazio, on this program this week pointed out that the enabling legislation for TARP actually has a provision in it that allows us to demand back the bonuses from these guys, the $18 billion in bonuses. And he's trying to put forward legislation to promote that.
And that's an excellent idea, and we're working with him and others on that.
Great, great. I'm glad to hear that. We'll take your calls now for Senator Bernie Sanders right after the break. 866-303-2270, our number. TomHartmann.com if you want to drop into our live chat room and for our blog on our front page. It is the Tom Hartmann radio program, Truth in Broadcasting for Change.
You're listening to the Tom Hartmann Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartmann, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartmann nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yes, it's Friday the 13th. Welcome back to our program. It's our Brunch with Bernie Hour, our national town hall meeting with Senator Bernie Sanders on the line with us, taking your calls. Bernie, ready to take some calls?
Let's do it.
All righty. Mitchell in northern... Oh, and by the way, let me just let everybody know, the pigeons, the robotic pigeons from the planet Xenu are now in our chat room, courtesy of Keith at whatnowtunes.com. Mitchell in northern New Jersey, listening on Sirius. Hey, Mitchell, you're on the air with Senator Sanders.
Good afternoon, Senator Sanders. Good afternoon, Tom. Senator Sanders, I wanted to ask you about Tim Geithner and his plan for the second stage of TARP. He was roundly criticized for a lack of specificity this week, and also I noted that you voted against his confirmation. So my question to you is, can you tell me a little bit more why you voted against him? And also, can you would you support a temporary nationalization of the financial institutions that need bailout? Thank you.
Thank you,
Mitchell.
Thanks, Mitchell. I voted against Geithner because I felt that he was much too much part of the old system that got us into this mess in the first place, tied up with Bob Ruman, also as head of the New York Fed, was involved in the Citigroup bailout, worked very closely with Secretary Paulson, Bush's secretary, on the first bailout. I think we need to take a very fresh look at the crisis of Wall Street, understand how we got into that, and to also appreciate that if we're going to be putting in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars, what we can't simply do is go back to the old ways. Clearly, whether you call it nationalization or whatever you call it, if taxpayers are going to put in so much money into the system, into the banking system, we have got to get a whole lot of value out of that system. I can give you many, many examples, but for a start, why we would possibly keep the same management that got us into this crisis when we're bailing them out makes no sense to me at all. And that's the issue I raised with Geithner. Second of all, we have heard on this show, Tom, and I hear all the time in Vermont, people who are paying 15, 20, 25, 29% interest rates on their credit cards. Why, if the taxpayers are putting so much money into the banking system, are they being forced to pay usury rates on their credit cards? So to answer Mitchell's question, it's a complicated issue, but I certainly am not supportive at this point of the direction that Geithner is taking us in terms of Wall Street.
Yeah, and I may be wrong on these numbers, Bernie, but I think that the amount of money that we have either spent or committed to spend is more than enough money on the open market to actually buy the stock of all these banks. And
yeah, it may well be, but then you're going to also, the problem, it's more complicated than that, Tom, because then you're going to pick up all of the debt as well. You have the obligation of bailing out deposits, et cetera. This is a tough and complicated issue, but bottom line is we need some fresh thinking. And I don't think we can rely simply on the people who got us into this mess in the first place.
Yeah. Amen. Ken in North Brunswick is at Mass or New Jersey? Ken?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Hi. Hey, what's up?
Thank you, gentlemen, for all you do. I just called Harry Reid's office and left a mess. Well, I actually spoke to his assistant and said that I'd be happy to contribute to his reelection campaign if he would start forcing Republicans to follow through on their threats to filibuster. If enough people did that, maybe he'd get the message. What do you think, Senator Sanders?
Well, I think I think Ken, you raise a good issue, and it's something that many of us here in the Senate have talked about. And you have to understand that we are beginning, I think, to do that. Last couple of Sundays ago, we were here on a Sunday, and I have the feeling, which doesn't make me too happy, we're going to be here for a lot of weekends. What happens right now, Reid has the difficult responsibility of A, having to move an agenda along. And sometimes you just can't spend 3 weeks on one issue because you can ignore a vast swath of what the American people need. On the other hand, I do think Ken's point is right. Really want a filibuster, let's keep me at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and let the American people understand what the issues are and what they are fighting for and what we are fighting for. I mentioned earlier in the show, I mean, I think a real stark contrast between what the Republicans have fought for and what we are trying to do is they want to repeal the estate tax, $1 trillion going to the top 0.3%. We, on the other hand, want to invest some $800 billion in creating 3 to 4 million jobs, rebuilding America. And if the Republicans want to get onto the floor on a Saturday or a Sunday talking about why tax breaks for billionaires are what we need, let them do it. So I'm not unsympathetic to what Ken is saying.
And when the Democrats were in the minority and were threatening filibusters, the Republicans were doing all the talk shows saying, give us an up or down vote. In other words,
right. You
know, and the Democrats need to be doing the same political theater in my home.
Well, I think you're beginning to see, believe me, I've spent too many weekends here not to know that we're beginning to move in that direction.
Yeah. Jeff in Rancho Cucamonga. Hey, you're on the air, Jeff.
Hey, Senator Senator Sanders, it's an honor. My question is, the government, in my opinion, is notorious for spending $1,000 on something that the people could buy for a dollar. What in the stimulus bill is going to prevent that from happening again, like it happened in Iraq and in Katrina?
All right. You know, Jeff, you make a good point, but be a little bit careful when you talk about, quote-unquote, the government. The government is 535 different members of the Congress in different administrations. If you're suggesting to me that, for example, in Iraq there were billions and billions and billions of dollars going to Halliburton, money that is unaccounted for, money that went out in no-bid contracts, no argument with me. And the government does waste a lot of money with it. Some of us, at least, are trying to take a very, very hard look at that. On the other hand, when you look at programs like Medicaid or Medicare, compare them in terms of administrative costs to Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or the private insurance companies, you know what? Government ends up doing reasonably well. In this particular legislation, this stimulus package, Obama has been very, very clear in that there is going to be an unprecedented degree of transparency and accountability. To the best of my knowledge, the bill has just come out. It's 800 pages. I've read every word of it. But at least what was talked about, and I'm sure that's going to be in the final passages, you're going to be able to know about these projects on the Internet. And you're going to see what the goals of these projects are, who got the contracts, how much they cost, and how well they succeeded. So there will be a major new opening in terms of transparency and accountability in this legislation.
Great. Great to hear. Let's see. David, in Federal Way, Washington, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hey, I was talking to my sister the other day, and she said some things that just kind of didn't make any sense to me. She said part of the conditions for GM to get assistance money was that they lay off 10,000 workers or they don't get it. And I thought that was to provide jobs to stay, not get rid of jobs or you don't get assistance. So I don't know where she got that from or what the facts are in it. And she also said something about all the new jobs that are coming from infrastructure are only going to be going to people who are already currently in unions. So all those millions of people that lost their jobs in other fields can't switch over to those.
No,
and I don't know where
you
get that from.
David, sit down with your sister and have a long track because I think she's got her facts wrong. In terms of, it's not the government's business to tell General Motors to lay off anybody or how to run their company. I think I have a concern that not just General Motors, but the big three have not done a particularly good job. The goal here, in fact, amidst huge layoffs in the automobile industry over the last number of years, the goal here is that if Detroit collapses in terms of automobile manufacturing, we're going to lose somewhere around 2 or 3 million jobs. And many of us think that will be just a disaster for this country, not only in terms of job loss, in terms of our capability of manufacturing anything. So we want not to see that happen. In terms of you have to be a union member to get a job, not true. Not true at all. Period.
There you go. And there's a lot of misinformation flying around. As a
I'm sure that there is. And the reason for that, again, is some of us now are trying to move America in a new direction. And we're trying to show the contrast between a progressive approach to a right-wing approach. And our friends at the right wing who failed us for 8 years, allowing the middle class to collapse, poverty to increase, more and more people to lose their health insurance, double the national debt, get us into a war we shouldn't have been in. You know what? Those guys are going to – they don't give an inch. And they're going to be fighting Obama every step of the way. But I think, Tom, one of the, certainly important goals of your show and one of the tasks that you do so well is just getting out the truth and taking on these guys.
Thank you. Bob, in Miami, Florida, listening on WINS, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, is this Bob from Miami?
That's Bob.
Miami?
That's you.
Hey, Senator Sanders, I've been homeless now for 2 years, but I choose to do that because I'm researching a book. I eat with these people when we can get a meal. I sleep outdoors with these people when we can get a bed, which is not very frequently. I bleed with these people, Senator. Exactly how much money in this stimulus plan is going towards the 3.5 million homeless people in America? And if you tell me nothing, a little to nothing will be spent. I will have to make the same statement a very famous man once said 2,000 years ago when he addressed the Jewish elite. But I'm addressing the entire legislative branch and our new president. Senator, that statement is whores one of the gates of heaven before you people do. Thank you.
As a matter of fact, Bob, I don't have all of that information, but there is no question but that we're looking at billions and billions of dollars to feed the hungry, to house the homeless, to rebuild low-income housing. So in this bill, amidst, I should tell you, a lot of opposition. People are saying, well, if you're feeding the hungry, how does this create jobs? Well, as a matter of fact, it does, because people will then go out and spend that money and have money to spend a lot more than wealthy people will. But there is a very substantial sum of money helping those people who have been so hard hit by the 8 years of Bush and the current deep recession that we're in. So, Bob, the answer is a lot of money is going into those areas.
That's great to know. Senator Bernie Sanders with us, our national town hall meeting. Brunch with Bernie, taking your calls, answering your questions. By the way, sanders.senate.gov is Bernie's website. Ours is tomhartman.com. We'll be right back.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Biting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
A big name in anti-aging right now is Dr. Arthur Perry. He's been all over TV. He's heard on the radio. He has a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue. Here's the twist. Dr. Perry is a plastic surgeon, but he likes to have his patients try a cream called Night Skin before they go schedule their surgical procedures. Night Skin goes on while you sleep. It supports natural collagen and elastin production. So when you use Night Skin, it reduces the appearance of your fine lines. It makes your skin smoother. It even fades away those unwanted brown spots that come with age. Dr. Perry says many of his patients call off their surgery appointments after using Night Skin because they're that happy with the results they see in the mirror. Now, Dr. Perry's Night Skin is available for anyone to get risk-free. Dial 1-800-491-8335. That's 1-800-491-8335. Call right away for your risk-free trial of Night Skin, the anti-aging cream. Dial 1-800-491-8335. That's 1-800-491-8335.
He's an outsider.
This is the demise of a civilization.
With an insider's perspective.
Demise of civilization? What are we talking about here?
Ron Reagan, evenings 6 to 8.
Well, no wonder Bernie Marcos is so upset.
Affording people the chance to unionize so that they could get better wages and benefits would be the death of America.
Ron Reagan, right after Randy Rhodes.
You've got to wonder about these titans of capitalism. You got to wonder what's going on in their head.
AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
How to remove cash from a can of paint. Step 1, go to the Home Depot. Step 2, get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of beautiful bare paint. Step 3, put color on your walls and all the cash you saved in your wallet.
The Home Depot has lowered the price on the paint supplies you need most. And now get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of bare paint. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through 216, U.S. only. See store for details.
Nothing like floating in the pool.
Hi there. I'm your local Geico agent.
What are you doing in my swimming pool?
The backstroke.
What?
No. Actually, I'm here to help you save money on your car insurance. I'm in the neighborhood, so if you ever need help, I'm here for you.
In my pool?
Hey, it's good to have me close by. That way you get the same low price Geico is known for, but with the personal service of a local agent.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, you think that's amazing. Watch me do a reverse 3.5 somersault in the pike position.
Woo-hoo! Nice tuck.
If you ever need help saving money on car insurance, have questions about your policy, or just want a free rate quote, your local Geico agent is always close by.
Your local Geico office can help you insure more than just your car. They can help you with motorcycle, boat, homeowners, renters, and other insurance products. For a free rate quote, call 503-794-0901. That's 503-794-0901. Or visit your local Geico office at 13031 Southeast 84th Avenue in Clackamas.
What if I said you could erase your wrinkles, tighten your skin, and make frown lines disappear from view, all without surgery or injections? With all the creams you've tried, you're probably skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a free trial of a scientific breakthrough called Hydroxytone. Shed years from your appearance faster than you ever thought possible.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, 10 years at least?
Request your risk-free trial of this proven breakthrough today. The results are so impressive, Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-900-4211. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-900-4211. 1-800-900-4211.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Another one of those Friday the 13th, guys. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Brunch with Bernie. Senator Bernie Sanders with us. Our national town hall meeting. James in New Paltz, New York, you're on the air with Senator Sanders.
Gentlemen, thank you. I have a question for both of you, and I think the last two questions kind of segue into what I'm thinking. As I went through the stimulus debate, as I'm listening to all the sides, I noticed we have a real discrepancy of information, and please bear with me here. You have people like on our side, like Dr. Paul Krugman, who put out these beautiful, well-researched position papers with very strong arguments. And on the other side, you have the Enterprise Institute that puts out these position papers that are basically glorified sound bites. There's no peer review, no scrutiny of any kind, and yet they both go out into the public, and the public sees them in an equal footing. And I guess, and in the end, the catch you one wins. And I don't know, I'm asking out of desperation, what can we do about this? Because this, if we have, when the healthcare debate comes up, I believe the same problem will arise. And thank you again for
asking.
Thank you, James.
That's a very good point. And, you know, one of the concerns that we have had for many years is, I think, just in terms of talk radio, the number of extreme right-wing broadcasters out there are extraordinary. It's not just Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, but, you know, dozens and dozens of Little Rushes out there. And that's a real problem that some of us are trying to tackle, and that's why the work that Tom Hartman and Ed Schultz and others are doing is so very, very important. I think the other way to deal with that, and certainly that was maybe a major factor in Barack Obama's victory in November, is using the Internet in a grassroots way to reach out to working people, to young people, to senior citizens, to talk directly to people so you don't have to go through the filter of the corporate media. We have a website which we invite all of you to visit. It tries to do our best on a daily basis to updating people in Vermont and around the country about what we do. Other senators have their websites. There are very good progressive groups around America. But I think trying to get around the corporate media and the right-wing media is certainly one of the goals that we're going to have to achieve.
Yeah, and that's sanders.senate.gov, by the way, and I'm signed
up. And I invite people to come in. We are, you know, it's not just for, it is, you know, primarily for Vermont, but not altogether. And we welcome people to check out our website.
Yeah, amen. Ollie in Los Angeles, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders. Ollie? No?
Yes.
Okay. Lou and I'm sorry, I hit the button just as he was saying yes. Lou in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm sorry, Ollie. Call back. Lou in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You're on with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Senator Sanders, pleasure talking to you again.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air, Lou.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Go ahead.
I was during the Second World War, I have a quick suggestion. We sold, the government sold what they call war bonds, and they sold stamps to where kids could go out and buy $18.75 eventually in stamps and cash them in for a war bond. Why don't we go back? Right now we have Class E savings bonds, but I think they go into the general fund. Why not have go back to that system, have specified bonds such as infrastructure bonds or bridge bonds or helping the homeless bonds or whatever it could be, where the American people could invest even small amounts into restoring our economy. Maybe we wouldn't have to borrow so much from China.
Lou, frankly, I think that's an excellent idea. And when I was a kid, I think my parents would buy me these $25 bonds or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, same here. And I even remember in second and third grade, this would be like, you know, 56, 57, we had dimes and quarters that you could put
that's
into
right.
little things in the school to end up buying a bond for yourself.
Lou, I think that's, I mean, it will bring people in our country together to understand the national debt, to understand the need for investment and the need for us to protect ourselves and not be dependent on help from China and Japan and other countries. I think it's an excellent idea.
Ed in Tucson, Arizona, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I got a call yesterday from someone at Al Franken's office looking for money to help him with the recount. And I was really put off about it because I haven't heard anything from the Democratic Senate Committee about Al Franken, the fact that he won and what's going on. Or I'm not aware that they're giving him any money in order to get that 59.
Well, here's what's going on, Ed. Let me jump in and tell you, because I just had dinner with Al Franken the other night. This recount is going on and on, and no one quite knows when it's going to end. Minnesota has unusual election law. Al is ahead, I think, Tom, help me, by 250 votes?
In that neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's going to prevail. I think he is going to prevail. But where what they need money for now is for not only attorneys, but they need money for all kinds of weird things. He told me that he has had to raise something like $5 million since the election in order to maintain this fight. So, you know, I think Al is going to win. I think Al is going to be a great United States Senator. He is a very, very smart guy. And if people are in a position to help him, you know, as I have, I think that would be a right thing.
Yeah, I think he's already won, but the Republicans are A, trying to bleed him dry with this with these series of lawsuits by Coleman, and B, they're trying to delay his entry into the Senate
right.
so that there won't be.
In other words, his presence here. If we had his presence here today, it'd make our life a lot easier. I'll tell you that. But he's going to come sooner or later, and anyone who wants to help him, please do.
Amen. Sean in Vancouver, Washington. You're on with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Senator Sanders, as painful as this economic crisis is, it also gives us an opportunity to do a total reappraisal of our economic priorities. And I'm thinking that if we all put our backs into it, we can get the Employee Free Choice Act through, we can repeal Taft-Hartley and get out of NAFTA and GATT. My question is, if the last period of labor strength was characterized by consumerism, say the 50s, 60s, and 70s, is it possible that this next period of labor strength could be characterized by a lower environmental footprint with much more emphasis on shorter work weeks and longer vacation times and more family-friendly policies?
Well, Sean, you've raised issues we can discuss for a very long time, and I am in general agreement with what you're saying. I think this economic crisis, which has been brought about by the outrageous greed of a few, the fact that we have the most unequal distribution of wealth and income of any major country, the fact that this culture of greed pervades so many aspects of our lives, that the heroes and heroines are not our firemen and our cops and our working people, but billionaires, that needs to be changed. And I think it is an opportunity to rethink where we are going as a nation and to make fundamental changes in our national priorities, certainly including the passage of the Employee Free Choice Act.
From your lips to God's ears, Bernie. Senator Bernie Sanders, sanders.senate.gov is website. Bernie, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Great talking with you. We'll be back with Anything Goes Friday.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at BetterWorldClub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the second hour of our show. It's Friday the 13th. Anything Goes Friday today. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. We'll be picking up your calls in just a second. I just wanted to share with you a couple of brief rants here. The first is, I have been telling you for some time that what's going on with the stimulus bill and the Republican opposition to it is being portrayed in the media as ideological. All those Republicans, they're ideologues, they hate the New Deal and all that. And I even bought that line for a day or two, hook, line, and sinker. But it ain't the case. The case is that the Republicans know what the Democratic economists are actually telling us. I mean, this is no secret. Paul Krugman is writing about it. You know, everybody knows it. But the Republicans know it in a political sense, and that is that most of the impact of any kind of financial stimulus, and first of all, this bill is too little too late, but nonetheless, after Bush ignored this problem for a couple of years and let it build up to the point where it blew up, as Elliot Splitzer pointed out, but that really the impact of this bill is going to happen in 2011. You're going to see what it basically is going to do is it's not going to build new jobs. It's going to prevent jobs from going away. That's going to be particularly the aid to states and cities because they're in such a deep hole right now. If it just fills their coffers back up, it prevents them from laying people off. And so it's not going to be like some sort of switch that gets flipped and all of a sudden life is good. And the construction projects, the large amounts of money that are going to construction projects and things like that, that's going to take a year, year and a half to actually see much impact at all. And even that's going to be relatively small compared to the size of the problem that we have. And so really what the Republicans are doing is they're saying, we're going to vote no on this because we know, they know, that in the fall of next year, when every single Republican in the House of Representatives and a bunch of them in the Senate, I think it's 16, I may be wrong, but there's a whole bunch of them in the Senate are up for re-election. And we will still be in a major recession. and we will. They are going to be able to say in all their political ads, I told you so, this should have been nothing but tax cuts work, and they're going to reinvent the history of the Reagan era, and maybe even try to reinvent the history of the Bush era and say, you know, tax cuts pulled us out of the recession after 9/11, blah, blah, blah. Those are going to be their talking points. Those are going to be their political ads, and they're going to say the Democrats instead spent us into bigger and deeper deficits, and as a consequence of that, we have an even bigger problem, and therefore we need to throw the Democrats out. That's what they're going to do. And today's Financial Times, page two, the two headlines, the two top headlines on page two of today's Financial Times echo that point. The first says, impact of U.S. plan will be felt slowly. The $54 billion in help to state governments may reverse some of these steps or prevent them from happening. For example, first-time teachers who might have been laid off will be kept on. In other words, they're talking about this is basically going to keep jobs rather than add jobs. They say few think its impact will be felt anytime soon by average voters. The real impact may be invisible to the naked eye. Mark Zandi, chief economist of economy.com, you won't open your door or unseal your latest paycheck and find that anything's going to be different. In fact, the average increase in take-home pay is going to be $32 as a result of the middle-class tax cut. $32 per paycheck. Unemployment insurance is going to be extended for 26 weeks. You know, that's going to help people. But it's not going to, this isn't going to solve the problem. It's too little, it's too late. It's a good step. It's a really good first step, but it's still too little. And then the second major headline in today's Financial Times, page two, and this is all above the fold. These are the only two headlines. Above the fold on page two of today's Financial Times, Bill bears heavy marks of political gesturing. And here's the take-home message. They're talking about how most of the tax cut, so-called, in the bill was the alternative minimum tax, which is paid principally by people at the upper end of the middle class, people making in the neighborhood of $100,000 to $150,000 a year, in some cases as little as $80,000, I think. I don't have the exact details in front of me, but it's in that neighborhood. It's not the average worker. The median income in the United States is around $54,000 a year. They don't pay the alternative minimum tax. So this the big chunk of this tax cut, about 70-80% of this tax cut went to people making in the neighborhood of $100,000 a year. And they say to pay for items such as the AMT, the alternative minimum tax, I call it ATI, anyway, the AMT, the Democrats had to accept cuts to their priorities, including aid to bail out cash-strapped states and tax reductions for lower-income families, both of which were likely to stimulate the economy more quickly. This appeared to be a deliberate political maneuver by the Republicans. This is in today's Financial Times, in their news story. This is not from the op-ed page. This is page two, a news story. This appeared to be a deliberate political attempt by the Republicans. On this occasion, they're quoting this one of their political consultants, Mr. Gale. On this occasion, the Republicans volunteered. He says usually parties don't like using their political chits to fix things like the AMT and prefer to say, let the other guy do it. On this occasion, the Republicans volunteered. Why? Because they know it's going to actually slow down the stimulus and keep us in recession a little bit longer, because they just need to keep the recession going. Just like they were trying to hold off the crash from happening until after the November election, which is why on 1 week you had George Bush saying the fundamentals of the economy are strong, and literally 2 weeks later you had him saying we are on the edge of the Great Depression. Because they couldn't. You know, they had their fingers in the dike, and they were putting bubblegum and baling wire up there trying to keep the waters from busting through that thing. And finally the bubblegum popped, the baling wire went flying, and then their fingers weren't big enough, and the flow started. And the consequence of 28 years of Reaganomics all started pouring down upon us. They were hoping they could wait until after November 4th for that to happen. They were doing everything they could to make sure it happened after November 4th so they could blame it on the election. They could blame it on the Democrats, the Democratic majority. They could say, see what happens when you elect Democrats. That was their political strategy. It didn't work. So now plan B is to say, okay, we've got this recession. The Democrats are not fixing it. This is a variation on what Trent Lott came right out and said 3 years ago when he said that we are going to, in the United States Senate, we are going to obstruct the Democrats from passing any meaningful legislation. And they did, by the way. In the last legislature, they over 80 filibusters in the Senate. Now, Harry Reid, in my opinion, bears some responsibility for allowing them to do this. But nonetheless, over 80 filibusters, the world record. More filibusters than at any time since the filibuster rule was put into place in 1917. This is not a rule, by the way, that the founders put in. It was put into place in 1917. At that time, it was a two-thirds majority. It was changed to a three-fifths majority in the 1960s or 70s. We should, frankly, I think we should just do away with it. Pull the nuclear option. The Democrats were, or the Republicans were always saying, give us an up or down vote on Bush's tax cuts. Give us an up or down vote on FISA. Give us an up or down vote on Judge Alito. Yeah, fine. You want up or down votes? We'll give you up or down votes. Let's just do away with the filibuster requirement. I don't think it's necessary. In fact, I think it's a terrible mistake that it was put there in the first place in 1917. But anyhow, my point is that the Republicans are playing this thing. They are playing political chess. And the Democrats are playing political checkers. And you need to know about it because, mark my words, 12 months from now, as the political season begins and the Republicans start running their campaign ads, you are going to see Republican campaign ads that are saying the Democrats put us $1 trillion in debt, $2 trillion in debt, and it's a debt against future generations, a theft from future generations, blah, blah, blah. These are the same hypocrites who put us $10 trillion in debt. They're going to be complaining about the Democrats spending $1 trillion, actually less than that, but in that neighborhood, to try to stimulate, and when you include interest, it'll be a little over $1 trillion, to try to stimulate the economy. And they're going to say a year from now, see, it hasn't worked, because a year from now, it won't have worked yet. It's going to be 2011, 2012 before you see a meaningful recovery from this thing. And part of that recovery can be attributed to this piece of legislation that, you know, hopefully will be passed and signed by the president soon. Part of it. But it's going to take a lot more than that. It's going to take the Employee Free Choice Act. It's going to take significant spending. It's going to take a dramatic increase in the tax rates, the marginal tax rates on the rich. It's going to take undoing our insane trade policies. There's a whole bunch of things that it's going to take to make this work. But I'm telling you, the Republicans are going to try and distract us all with talking points like getting people hysterical about illegal aliens. One of the Republicans' favorite things. Oh, let's get all hysterical about this. It's called taking your eye off the ball. Don't let them do it.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman. Guys, I know how easy it is to get wrapped up in everyday life. You just flat out ignore your health. I hate to point out the obvious, but sometimes we need to be reminded that without our health, life as we know it becomes extremely difficult. Let me take a few seconds to talk about prostate health and how this small gland can lead to big problems if you ignore it. The classic signs of an unhealthy prostate include the following: difficulty urinating, frequent night bathroom trips, and even sexual dysfunction. Unfortunately, every man will have some sort of prostate-related health issue if he lives long enough. And we all should, right? You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to support proper prostate function. Ignoring your prostate will not make your problems go away. Beta Prostate provides effective, all-natural support. Call and order Beta Prostate risk-free today. Dial 1-800-954-0803. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPO.
Hi, Tom Dwyer Automotive Services is your ally in a bad economy. We'll make sure you're not wasting your money or unknowingly running your vehicle into the ground. We provide value by offering quality service in a logical, prioritized manner, focusing on safety recommendations first, breakdown items next, and then your maintenance needs. Trust is the main reason people use our service. Our clients know we deliver comprehensive, honest, no BS service. We won't sell unneeded or random nonsense. Our service advisors aren't paid sales commission, so you can trust they're recommending services you need, not just building a paycheck. We're an ASE Blue Seal of Excellence facility, and our technicians efficiently service your vehicle right the first time. We offer a no-hassle 18-month, 18,000-mile warranty, free shuttle service, and in this economy, our same-as cash financing can help. Let our existing clients tell you why they choose us. Go to our website at tomdwyer.com and watch the detailed client testimonials, and call us at 503-230-2300. Please let us help you preserve your car and your cash.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires, your brakes, your battery, your oil and filter, your fluid levels, and your belts and hoses.
Would you check us, please?
Okay, I'm on my way to the Ford dealer now for the Works Fuel Saver Package. You'll all get checked or tested or changed or rotated or filled.
Oh, filled is good.
For just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Woohoo! I love this guy!
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 3/31/09.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break. Her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save. Time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter at Walgreens.
How much could you be saving on car insurance? $300, $400, $500? There's a real easy way to find out. Just go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at BeavertonLodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows, anything goes.
Anything goes Friday, 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Tom Hartman here with you, tomhartman.com. If you want to drop into our free live chat room, you'll find all things interesting there. Philip in Boca Raton, Florida. Hey, Philip, what's up?
Yeah, I have two questions. I have a question and then I have an answer. The first question is, it seems to me we're printing money out of the kazoo, and it reminds me of what happened in the Weimar Republic. You had a wheelbarrow loaded with money and people took the wheelbarrow and threw out the money. I don't see exactly how we're going to pay for this, but let me give you an answer to that question, how exactly we do it. Roughly 20 to 30% of the economy is an underground economy. If we got off paper money completely and just go to electronic transfers, then essentially you would capture 20 to 30% of that money. It would flow right back into the economy. Plus, in addition, what would happen, you'd kill the drug trade. Because no longer can someone turn up in the street with a bag full of money and give it to a drug dealer. You have to account for it.
Plus, in addition, you would kill any possibility of your ever having any privacy whatsoever.
By the way, to put it that way, because what is a check? A check is an electronic transfer anyway. So is credit cards. Actually, the amount of paper of non-electronic transfer money is virtually nothing anyway.
Yeah, no, I get your point, but I am all in favor of retaining cash. And let me tell you, Philip, yes, we are printing money like crazy, but there's also been a contraction in our money supply. Our money supply, because we have a fractional reserve banking system, which frankly I think should be done away with. I think we should be federalizing our monetary system. We had to have the Fed purchased by the Treasury Department and go back to, as the Constitution calls for, the government minting our money. It says it'll mint coins. So all our coins are made by the Treasury Department. Our dollar bills, because it doesn't say dollar bills in the Constitution, are made by the Fed, which seems to me absurd. But anyhow, the way a fractional banking reserve banking system works is, let's say there's $1 trillion floating around in the money supply, total amount of money. It's actually much greater than that, but let's say that's what it is. And a bank loans somebody $1 billion. all of a sudden $1 billion, or actually 9/10 of that $1 billion, is created out of thin air when that loan happens. So our money supply expands as a consequence of banks loaning money out. Now, when that money gets paid back to that bank, or if that loan is declared bad, then the money supply diminishes by that amount. It's reduced by that amount. It vanishes by that amount. And what we're seeing right now with the contraction of lending, the contraction of credit, it is actually, it works the opposite of the printing of the money. So you got the Fed trying to print more money, and actually they're talking about it rather bluntly. But at the same time, a depression is a contraction of the money supply. And that's one of the things that we're right on the edge of. And it would be a very, very bad thing if it really picked up steam, by the way, which is why I think that, for example, this piece of legislation, this stimulus bill, hopefully will hold that off. At least it will cause it to be a long, you know, a 2 or 3 year long recession, a bad recession, rather than a Great Depression. But anyhow, that's my take on that. Bernice in Dearborn, Michigan, listening on WDTW. Hey, Bernice, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Are we ever going to roll back former President Bush's outrageous tax cuts to the wealthiest in this country?
I hope so, and I want to go even farther than that. I want to roll back Ronald Reagan's outrageous tax cuts. The reason that when Reagan came into office, we had less than $1 trillion and we have over $10 trillion in national debt now is because of the Reagan tax cuts. And we need to roll back the Reagan tax cuts as well as the Bush tax cuts. And that should be, you know, task one. And so let me encourage everybody to this needs to be our marching song. This needs to be our mantra. Roll back the Reagan tax cuts. Let's roll back Reaganomics. Let's get out of the WTO. Let's go back to a rational system. Let's bring back our unionized labor force. We had 25% of American workers unionized when Reagan came into office. Now in the private sector, it's around 7 or 8%. Let's bring back the economy that we had, this very powerful and strong economy that we had in the 1950s and 60s and 70s and the early 80s until Ronald Reagan got his hands on it and broke it. Dustin in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Dustin, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Welcome from your hometown.
Yeah, thank you.
I just want to do a broad stroke question. I mean, all these detailed issues, it just seems like it runs around like a kind of a mouse just a wheel. And my question being, you know, all just like you've been saying the last about 10 minutes, like the insane tariff the trading policies that we have, the way the Federal Reserve works, all of this, you know, that seems so insane when you take them instance by instance. But, you know, it seems like the only people that they're really helping out is the very elite.
Yep.
And my question is, was the middle class just a blip, a mistake made by the people in power, and now they're getting back to where they want to be back?
The middle class, Dustin, was a blip. It was not a mistake. It was intentionally created by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. In the 1920s, fewer than 10% of Americans were in what today you would call the middle class. You know, now it's closer to 40 or 50%, and in fact, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, it was closer to 70 or 80%. And the middle class is something that's not normal. A middle class is not a normal thing. We had a middle class at the founding of this country, in large part because we stole land from Indians and because we had slavery. We had a middle class in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s because of strong labor unions and the policies of the New Deal. And we had a middle class after the Enlightenment because of during the Enlightenment because Europe stole all that money from South, you know, all that gold from South America and Central America, and we had a middle class during the Renaissance because a third of Europe died and it drove up the cost of labor. That's it. Middle classes are not normal. You have to create them.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Friday the 13th. Is that a voodoo day? I don't know. Welcome back, my friends. Frustrated in his attempt to find someone willing to be Commerce Secretary, President Barack Obama today turned to Craigslist, the popular online classifieds site. The position of Commerce Secretary is too important to remain unfulfilled another day, Mr. Obama said. That's why it's absolutely essential that this Craigslist thing work. The president's gambit seemed to pay off early in the day when Josh Hirstein, an indie rock musician from Williamsburg, Brooklyn, tentatively accepted the post. But hours later, Mr. Hirstein did an about-face, withdrawing his name from consideration with the following terse statement. At first, I was like, that would be awesome, but I didn't realize I'd have to move. For his part, Mr. Obama said he would continue searching on Craigslist, adding, while I have not yet found a commerce secretary there, I did just find a great pair of skis. Well, a little bit of advice to Mr. Obama. Try Angie's List. Much better. Much better. And much more reliable. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Mary in Quantico, Virginia. Hey, Mary, what's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to see what you thought about the fairness doctrine. It seems with the plethora of broadcast mediums that it is unnecessary, and I certainly wouldn't want to have to listen to conservative ranting on Air America, nor would I expect them to air liberal views on any other conservative radio station.
Yeah, I think that the fairness doctrine is it's a straw man. It's a bugaboo that was created by the right wing. And, you know, what to take our eye off the main issue. The main issue is, broadly speaking, is the enforcement of the Sherman Antitrust Act and rolling back, frankly, the 1996 Telecommunications Act that Clinton signed. What we have is media consolidation, and we no longer, we no longer have broadcasting in the public interest, programming in the public interest.
I read something about Al Franken actually supporting the Broadcasters Freedom Act, and
this Broadcasters Freedom Act. The right wingers have been putting legislation forward every year for the last 3 years to forbid the FCC from doing anything like the Fairness Doctrine. But they characterize the Fairness Doctrine as some bureaucrat someplace is going to sit there and say, okay, this is a liberal show, this is a conservative show. There has to be absolute balance in every radio or whatever. I mean, you know. That was never the Fairness Doctrine to begin with. The Fairness Doctrine had to do with stations having to be sure that in areas of public interest and local public interest, that all sides of an argument were aired. In principle, it sounds like a good idea, but the devil's in the details. I frankly am far more concerned with this massive media consolidation that we have and broadly speaking, the fact that we don't have balanced voices on the air Mary, thank you for raising the issue, because conservative talk radio has been around for 15 and 20 years. It's been promoted very heavily. It's been, you know, for example, Fox News lost $100 million a year for 5 years. They lost $500 million before they made their first penny with Sean Hannity. They lost $500 million. Now, nobody has come forward with even a hundredth of that kind of money to be, well, maybe Air America lost a hundredth of that kind of money, but that's about it, to promote progressive talk radio. I can tell you, though, that, you know, this show, we beat Rush Limbaugh in Portland and Arbitron. We beat Rush Limbaugh in Seattle and Arbitron. In Los Angeles, we beat Bill O'Reilly 2-1. We beat these guys all over the country on this show. And what makes the difference between progressive stations that succeed and progressive stations that fail is three simple things. And this, is, by the way, is true of conservative stations as well. Is that, number one, they have a dedicated sales force just to sell that particular station. So you get guys out there, the salespeople in the radio station, and they go to the Democratic Party fundraisers, and they get to meet all the local business people who are big supporters of the Democratic Party and of that point of view. And those are the people who are and instead, a lot of these stations have been having the people who have been selling Limbaugh for 15 years, and they've been going to the Republican Party fundraisers to troll for prospects to advertise, and you know, they don't know where to begin selling progressive talk radio. So, gee, the station doesn't make any money. Well, It's because management never chose to have a dedicated sales force. It's a terrible mistake, number one. Number two, put it on a strong signal, on a strong stick. Here in Portland, for example, we're on a 25,000-watt station. That's a rarity. Usually, in most markets, it's on such a weak stick that nobody can even hear the signal. And then they say, gee, nobody can hear it. I wonder why it's not doing well. And number three, manage the thing well. Actually program it well. Put good programming on, shows that get good ratings, and image the station correctly. In other words, do it like a real radio station. And those stations that do that are successful. They're financially successful, and they're successful in ratings. Whether it's conservative or whether it's liberal. Frankly, I don't think that there's a difference, as long as those three criteria are met. Now, the question is, how do you make sure that those three criteria are met for progressive programming? And because there's a lot of conservative programming out there that's just being supported, you know, it's just being dragged along. You know, in one case, there's a network that makes most of their money publishing Bibles, and they're basically supporting their right-wing radio stuff. I mean, how do you compete with that? So, I don't know. It's a knotty problem, but I really think that local ownership and basically, frankly, I think the biggest part of the problem is that progressive media, the executives who are responsible for progressive media in this country have done a lousy job in the last 5 years of telling their own success stories. In fact, they've done no job of telling their own success stories. And it's been left to people like me to point it out that, hey, you know, we're making money, we're having success. And they need to be. There needs to be. And whereas on the right-wing side, whenever there's a success story, they trumpet the thing, they get it in the media, they get it in the press. You know, Fox News is now making money. They're proclaiming that from the rooftops. And so, anyhow, that's my rant. Mario in Los Angeles. Hey, Mario, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. Ron Regan said yesterday on a radio show that they took out the $500,000 limit on CEO pay for companies that take out bailout money out of the bailout bill as a compromise to the Republicans. Do you think that's a good idea, Tom?
I'm sorry, but I got distracted. The first part of your sentence again.
Yeah, Ron Regan said yesterday on his radio show that they took out the $500,000 limit on CEO pay for companies to take out the bailout money.
Yeah, it wasn't just CEO pay. It was right across the board. Nobody working for the company shall make more than the President of the United States plus $100,000. And, yeah, I think that is treating cancer with Band-Aids. I think that what we need to do is if a bank cannot survive, if it has been so badly managed and so badly run, as is the case with most of these large national banks that have tried to become masters of the universe, if it has been so badly run that it requires billions of dollars from the government to run it, then we should do as Gordon Brown has done in the United Kingdom with Northern Rock and now with the Royal Bank of Scotland, buy the damn thing, fire all the management, fire the senior executives. Forget about whether or not you're going to pay them $500,000. Replace them with people who are willing to work for $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 a year. And you can get damn good talent, by the way, that'll work for that, and or less than that even. And replace them with people who know what they're doing and put them back into shape. And when they get back into shape and they get strong, put good, strong regulations on those banks and then sell them back into the marketplace. So I think that, you know, yeah, it would have been nice. It's a nice symbolic gesture to say that you can't pay these guys more than $500,000. But that has nothing to do with the problem. The problem is that these banks have been run as criminal enterprises in many cases. They've been run that way in many cases legally because people like Phil Graham and all the heirs of Ronald Reagan's philosophies and Alan Greenspan's philosophies, these Heritage Foundation, these conservative philosophies, these libertarian Cato Institute philosophies, the heirs to all that, the true believers in that, the Republicans in the House and Senate and the small minority of right-wing Democrats in the House and Senate have believe that there's some sort of magical free market and that banking should be part of it. I believe it should be part of the commons. And that therefore, if we simply deregulate the banks and deregulate all the traders and deregulate all the commodity traders, and oh, we're never again going to tax them like we were doing up until 1966 with the Stet tax on individual transactions for traders, that everything wonderful will happen. Instead, what happens is the predators and the criminals come out. And so, you know, the predators and criminals came out. They broke the system. They ran us into bankruptcy. They destroyed our economy. We need to take their toys away from them. We need to take their banks away from them like Sweden did. When Sweden's banks ran into the ground, the government of Sweden came in and said, okay, you guys don't know how to run a bank. We'll run it for you. We are going to take your banks and we are going to run them. And they did. And 5-10 years later, they had turned them around and they were turning profitable, and they said, okay, fine, now we're going to have a stock offering, we're going to do an IPO, we're going to sell these banks back into the private market to private stockholders and let them run themselves as banks again. And the banks learned their lessons. And the criminals, you know, a lot of these guys have already, they've already taken millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, in a few cases, billions of dollars into their own checking accounts. They've got their estates, they've got their yachts, they've got their private jets, they've got their gold and their private safe in their bedroom. They're not going to give it up. And it's going to be very difficult, if not, you know, functionally, practically, politically impossible to get it back. So why are we allowing them to continue their jobs? When those guys were testifying before Congress day before yesterday, the message to them shouldn't have been, oh, you were bad, please start lending money. The message to them should have been, you're fired, get out of the room. That should have been the message to them. And the reason why they're fired, because instead of handing them hundreds of billions of dollars, as the Bush administration did, and said, here, have some money. You don't even have to tell us how you use it. You can make it completely invisible. We'll never ask. Or you can cover it up so we'll never know. Instead, we should have said, here's a couple $100 billion. We're buying your stock. We now own your ass.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
The most progressive 3 hours of local radio you'll hear all day.
Elliott's Hardware has appealed to former President George W. Bush to spend his newfound retirement working as a part-time greeter.
We guarantee it.
Carl Wilson and friends.
Can you tell me where the rakes are?
Weekday 6 to 9.
I'm disappointed. There are no rakes. It's not an error that the store has no rakes, but we are disappointed.
Carl Wilson and friends. Weekday 6 to 9. AM 620 KPOJ.
Is your credit score holding you back? Are you paying more for everything just because you don't have perfect credit? Well, it's not your fault. Credit card companies are doing everything they can to keep you in debt and never let you escape. But I've got a system that can fix your credit score once and for all. And I'm going to send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system today.
My credit score is now 758. My wife and I are shouting for joy right now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't just fix your credit score, it will permanently rebuild your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.
Our credit score was in the low 600s and now we're at 780.
You can wipe the slate clean once and for all. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. For your free tape, call 1-800-900-3142. That's 1-800-900-3142. 1-800-900-3142.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com.
When you think of having it all, just think up north.
just downriver. With easy access to Portland without the hassles of city life, the Port of Kalama is a perfect place for your business to flourish. Kalama is close, yet near natural grandeur. Recreation and business-friendly tax benefits await. The Port of Kalama offers all the superior facilities your business needs to thrive and a quality of life without comparison. The Port of Kalama, where business lives. Visit portofkalama.com.
I've had this bad cough for the last 2 months. I need to go to the doctor, but I don't have health insurance. I wish I'd looked into it earlier.
If you need help finding affordable health care coverage for yourself, your kids, or your parents, call the Sheba Helpline. We make choosing health care coverage easier. Call us for fast, free service. 1-800-562-6900. Sheba, a free service of Washington's Office of the Insurance Commission. 1-800-562-6900.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Once I ran a big bank, I had it made, bundling that old subprime. And now that my fat bonus is already paid, brother, can you spare me another trillion? Wearing our Armani threads, gee, we look swell, full of derivative loot. But then we all fled as the stock market fell. I was the kid with the golden parachute. Remember my bailout? Okay, it was a con. I took you for a bunch of billions. Well, thanks, sucker, for the bailout. But now it's gone. Buddy, can you spare another trillion? Buddy, can you please spare a trillion or two?
See, I'm telling you, we just need to tell them, I'm sorry, we own you now. Welcome back. Hey, just a quick heads up tonight for our listeners in Portland tonight. Livewire at the Aladdin, aladdin-theater.com. I'll be there. Tickets are $20, limited number of reserved seats at $30. And let's see, Peter Ames Carlin is going to be there, Michelle Gendelman, John Raymond. It's going to be a great evening. And on February 26 and 27, I'll be at CPAC in Washington, D.C., March 7th, Saturday. It's our one-day, our three-hour cruise in Seattle, am1090seattle.com. On March 19th in Chicago, chicagosprogressivetalk.com. You can get tickets to my debate with Michael Medved. Please show up to root for our side. And on Saturday, May 2nd, I will be one of the keynote speakers at the Green Festival in Denver, Colorado, greenfestivals.org/Denver for the information on that. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Gordon in Troy, Michigan. Hey, Gordon, what's up?
Hi, Tom. This is a question probably better asked of Bernie, but I missed him. Question on H-1B and green cards. Out of all these layoffs and all these corporations, does anyone know if they're terminating or laying off any of these people?
They're not. In fact, there are some companies that are applying for more H-1Bs at the same time that they're laying off American workers.
That's a breach of the reason that the legislation was passed, because it said that they cannot find American workers to fill these jobs.
Yeah, which is nonsense. And Gordon, this again highlights the point of the stupidity of compromise. I am sorry, compromise is, legislation is not compromise. Legislation is getting laws passed that need to be passed.
Legislation is the art of compromise, consensus building, and that's what we did.
No, it's not, Harry. Sorry. I know you're the legislator and I'm the talk show host, but, I've been observing this world nearly as long as it was, not quite as long as you have, but, been around for a while, and I'm telling you, if you look at the effective legislation, look at the civil rights laws back in the 60s. The Republicans were filibustering these things, and LBJ said, go ahead, make my day. I mean, this is...
Go ahead, make my day.
Harry, just practice, try it.
Go ahead, make my day.
Maybe we can get Clint, I know he's a Republican, maybe we can get him to go out and offer Harry some lessons, some...
Go ahead, make my day.
Some coaching. 866-303-2270, our number. Orion in Long Beach, California. Hey, Orion.
Hey, Tom. I just wanted to say kudos for the interview that you had yesterday with the guy that
didn't believe in evolution. I thought that interview went really well, and I like the zinger you had at the end about Cain's wife.
Yeah, it's it always baffled me. You know, the first time I read the Bible, I'm like, hey, wait a minute, Cain went to a nearby town. It wasn't like, you know, he married another woman in the family. He went to a nearby town and found a wife. It's right there in the Bible. You can read it. And he's the son of Adam and Eve. You know, as with every tribe, the story told in Genesis, and there's actually two creation stories told in Genesis, and they came about from two different historical times and maybe even two different tribes. But every tribe has its own creation story, and in every tribe's creation story, they are the original people. But most of them acknowledge that there are other people around. So it's not the story, Genesis isn't the story of the creation of all humans, arguably. It's the creation of the story of the people who followed Genesis, what were referred to, I suppose, back then as the Hebrews or whatever. And Christians have adopted that. But there's a different creation story for Hindus. Sample 40 or 50 different Native American cultures, and you're going to find 40 or 50 different creation stories. You look at the creation stories among 100 different tribes in the Amazon forest. Every one of them has a different one. I mean, it's just basically this is how our tribe started story. But it's just amazing. It acknowledges that Cain went off to a nearby town and married a woman he met there.
Well, I was going to mention, because he brought up, or he actually challenged you to bring up an example of evolution in real time or in action. And you had mentioned insects and bacteria, and people like him, he and people like him don't like that example because for some reason it's not good enough. Mm-hmm. So he asked you to use something in the mammalian or an animal that's bigger than a bread box, I guess you could say. And I would suggest that next time you have that question brought up to you, if they challenge you on that, to mention that in Africa, they did this study where they noticed that elephants that are born, the percentage of these elephants not being able to produce tusks grows every year.
Hmm.
And the reason is because hunters kill the elephants with the tusks, and so natural selection is basically allowing those that can't produce tusks to be born because those are the ones that survive.
Wow. We saw the same thing with a particular moth in London that was, it was harder to see this moth when it rested on brick, on red brick. And that moth mutated over time to look more and more like the red brick and proliferated. And, I mean, this was a big story in the science press maybe a decade ago. And, there are a lot of examples of this. And by the way, there is a transitional species that has been found. And it is the transition from water living animals to land living animals. And it was found in 2004. And BBC had a big story about it. One of our listeners sent me a link to it over at the BBC's website, bbc.co.uk. But you can probably Google it fairly easily. We have found the transitional species in the fossil record. So, thank you, Orion, for the call. It's not like there's a debate going on here, unfortunately. It's, natural selection is real. The debate is whether natural selection happens slowly or whether Stephen Jay Gould's hypothesis of punctuated evolution, which I frankly think makes a whole lot more sense, is the solid one. And increasingly, that one's gained traction.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Apropos of what I was saying, the way I basically opened the last hour, that the GOP is the Republicans are playing this. They're going to play this thing. They are playing politics right now for the 2010 election. It's all about the 2010 election when every single Republican in the House of Representatives is up for re-election. Every single one. And every single Democrat as well. And the Republicans are hoping to take some of those Democratic seats, particularly in the blue dog areas, particularly in the conservative leaning areas where you have, where you tend to have Democrats who represent their constituencies by being a little more conservative. And by the way, I don't have a problem with that in and of itself, because that's what representatives are supposed to do, is represent the people that they represent. But nonetheless, this is the way that the Republicans are going to play this thing. They are going to say, you're not getting us out of the economy, the economic doldrums fast enough. You're not solving the problems fast enough. And therefore, we should have done, what Bush did when he saved the country with tax cuts, and what Reagan did when he saved the country with tax cuts. Now, forget the fact that in both cases, those tax cuts didn't do a damn thing to stimulate the economy, and instead ran us trillions of dollars into debt, creating a multi-generational theft from America. That's what the Republicans are all about. They're the party of multi-generational theft. They're the party of the economic elites. And that's the only people who benefited from the tax, from Reagan's tax cuts and Bush's tax cuts, and arguably Reagan's tax cuts and Bush's tax cuts set up the bubbles that burst and led to this second Republican Great Depression that we're sliding into. But nonetheless, the Republicans, because it isn't going to be all rosy in November of 2010, it's just down the road. Just 12 months from now, they're going to be 13, 14, 15 months. It'll be hot and heavy. 12 months from now, they're going to begin the campaigning, even before that, actually. I'd say they're campaigning right now, frankly. They're looking at the 2010 elections, and they're going to say, see, we told you so. This didn't solve all our problems. This wasn't a panacea. And the Democrats have to get out there and say, no, it didn't solve all the problems, and it's not a panacea because the Republicans did an enormous amount of damage. And that needs to be said. But here's Grover Norquist this morning criticizing Charlie Crist, the Republican governor of Florida, who had the temerity to stand on a stage with Barack Obama and endorse the stimulus package that would save his state. God forbid he'd do that. Grover Norquist comes along and says, and I quote, "This is the bill that the Republican Party will be running against in 2010 and 2012 and 2014, end of quote. You heard it first here a week ago. And now the Republicans are starting to lay it out, what I said all along was going to be their strategy. And they're going to try and distract us with all kinds of petty arguments and petty squabbles. Oh, let's get into whether or not, illegal aliens or something. Come on. Pay attention to what's really going on. Don't be a sucker for the conservatives. What's really going on is that a power play is being played by the conservative economic elite in this country. A power play that has been being conducted since the founding of this country to a large extent, but in pushback against the New Deal, since the election of 46 when the Republicans took back the House and the Senate, and thus were able to pass Taft-Hartley and were able to prevent Harry and override Harry Truman's veto of it, and were able to prevent Harry Truman's single-payer national health care bill in 1947 from even coming to the floor for a House vote. The economic royalists that Franklin Roosevelt railed about in 1936 are back. They were brought to power in large part by Ronald Reagan, and they've been there ever since. And those are the people who are destroying this country and destroying our economy and getting fat and happy and healthy and rich in the process. And we got Karl Rove twittering from his hunting party with the impartial press out there, Chris Wallace and Fred Barnes, Chris Wallace from Faux News or Fixed Noise, and Fred Barnes from the Weekly Standard, twittering, "All's clear, Dixon, Wyoming." Isn't that cute? Oh, excuse me, that was Tom at CC. Karl Rove responded saying, "You're correct. Unfortunately, Cheney's not here, but I look forward to my next hunt with him." Isn't that sweet? Karl is twittering. And Norquist is saying, this is the bill that the Republican Party will be running against in 2010, 2012, and 2014. That's it. Will in Easton, Pennsylvania. Hey, Will, what's up?
Hey, Tom. How you doing? Somebody else called earlier and sort of asked sort of the same thing, but I wanted to talk to you a long time about, realistically, how did we fight the fact that the right wing has this unbelievable grip, obviously mainly on radio? I mean, I know you're on radio, don't get me wrong. But what you said is right. But probably in Oregon, which it probably comes loud and clear, and I know I have a lot of family out there, I know that, but in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, you can't get it. The only place you can get it is on the Internet. And they have such a – they blast this propaganda 24/7. I know some pretty smart people. They're really not dumb. I mean, that fall for this garbage that they say, and you just shake your head. It's because it's being shoved down their throat 24/7, this propaganda. Yeah. How do you fight that? I feel pretty hopeless about it. I don't mean to be down on about this, but it is pretty discouraging.
We need to be telling our stories, Will. It's really very straightforward. We need to be telling our success stories. And in Portland, for example, here, four out of the five counties in this DMA, in the metro area that this radio station hits, four out of those five counties voted for Bush in two of the last three, you know, not the last one because he wasn't running, but they both went for Bush. We have a purple area here. It's not this isn't some liberal paradise. And Oregon, once you get outside of downtown Portland, is a pretty conservative state, actually, most of rural Oregon, as is the case in most rural areas.
Right,
And, you know, we just need – and so, you know, when I can beat Rush Limbaugh in this market or in Seattle or beat Bill O'Reilly 2-1 in Los Angeles or, you know, do really well in other markets, beating O'Reilly pretty consistently, you know, right across the board. And then I take that message – to the company that syndicates or that does the affiliation sales for this show, and say, hey, you know, let's run some ads, let's moat this, and what you beat Bill O'Reilly. Well, that company also owns the Bill O'Reilly show, and so they're saying, well, I don't, we're not going to talk about that, and that's the problem. That's part of the problem is that, you know, this is a very risk averse industry. Every program director is asking himself the question, will I get fired for putting this person on the air? You know, it's not, am I going to be successful? Everybody's afraid of losing their job in this business. And the conventional wisdom in radio is nobody ever got fired for putting Limbaugh on the air. Nobody ever got fired for putting Savage on the air. Nobody ever got fired for putting Hannity on the air. We need to make sure that the message gets out that, hey, you put Hartman on the air, you're going to make money. You're going to do well. And the same with, you know, Stephanie Miller and Ron Reagan and Ed Schultz and Bill Press and Peter B. Collins and Mike Malloy and Randy Rhodes. I mean, there's a whole bunch of very good progressive talent out there that makes money on radio stations that meet those three criteria that I laid out, those three simple criteria, which are met by almost every conservative station in this country, and only a minority, arguably, of the progressive stations, which is, number one, they have a dedicated sales force. Number two, they put it on a large stick. In other words, it's got a good signal with a good throw to it. And number three, they actually pay attention to the station and program it like a real radio station. Where they do those three things, they can make money just as easily and just as efficiently and just as competently as they can make money with conservative talk radio. Because talk radio is talk radio, and people love listening to talk radio. If it's good programming, it works. That's the bottom line. Tom in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Oh, hi, Tom.
By the way, another city where you've got a progressive radio station that works, and I'm pleased to be on it.
Except you're not on it live. I got to stream in order to call in. Well, otherwise, I'm 3 hours behind you.
Can't have everything. So what's up, Tom?
Bernie Sanders probably could. You should run this past him. But why doesn't the Senate have a line item vote? Just like their debates are just ridiculous because they're talking about umpty-nine things, and so they're confounding things. They're confusing things. It's the worst debate in the world.
They have the ability. They have the ability to take things out item by item. They have the ability to put things in item by item. It's just generally that's not done, largely for efficiency's sake.
I'm
not defending it.
2 weeks arguing about what should or shouldn't be in this. If they just had a button where they didn't have to go through the roll call, you know, where they call everybody up, and you just press up, you know, there's 100 line items, and you vote yes, vote no, if the president can do a line item veto, why couldn't the congressman do a line item veto? And then
the way they'd have to do it, well, actually they can, Tom. And the way they'd have to do it is the speaker would have to say, okay, there's 100 line items here. I'm going to read them. Line item one, everybody vote. Line item two, everybody vote. Good idea, actually, Tom. Thank you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hey, what if I told you that ultimately a large majority of American men will face prostate health-related issues? Would that make you think twice about how you can avoid becoming part of that statistic? This is a hint, guys. If you're not thinking about these kind of things, you should be. Every single man will have prostate problems if they live long enough. When you have an unhealthy prostate, you're making frequent nightly bathroom trips, you have difficulty going, and even sexual dysfunction. This is your body's way of telling you something's not right. You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to provide you with all natural prostate support. I reached out to the manufacturer, and they'll be extending a special offer. Buy two bottles of Beta Prostate and get one free. You'll also get a free book written by the formulator of Beta Prostate, Roger Mason. And best of all, it's risk-free, so your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call today, 1-800-954-0803. 1-800-954-0803. That's Beta Prostate, available at 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Ed Schultz.
So I end up with a front row seat in the first primetime press conference.
Noon to 3.
Folks, change is in the air. The Huffington Post was able to ask a question last night to the President of the United States. Helen Thomas is back on the lineup. Big Eddie in the front row. And I tell you what, it all goes to show that
the Ed Schultz Show.
This administration is listening outside the mainstream media.
Noon to 3.
I have earned that seat. And it's probably going to happen again.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Dwyer Automotive Services is your ally in a bad economy. We'll make sure you're not wasting your money or unknowingly running your vehicle into the ground. We provide value by offering quality service in a logical, prioritized manner, focusing on safety recommendations first, breakdown items next, and then your maintenance needs. Trust is the main reason people use our service. Our clients know we deliver comprehensive, honest, no BS service. We won't sell unneeded or random nonsense. Our service advisors aren't paid sales commission, so you can trust they're recommending services you need, not just building a paycheck. We're an ASE Blue Seal of Excellence facility, and our technicians efficiently service your vehicle right the first time. We offer a no-hassle 18-month, 18,000-mile warranty, free shuttle service, and in this economy, our same-as cash financing can help. Let our existing clients tell you why they choose us. Go to our website at tomdwyer.com and watch the detailed client testimonials. And call us at 503-230-2300. Please let us help you preserve your car and your cash.
What if I said you could erase your wrinkles, tighten your skin, and make frown lines disappear from view, all without surgery or injections? With all the creams you've tried, you're probably skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a free trial of a scientific breakthrough called Hydroxytone. Shed years from your appearance faster than you ever thought possible.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
Request your risk-free trial of this proven breakthrough today. The results are so impressive, Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-900-4211. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-900-4211. 1-800-900-4211.
How much could you be saving on car insurance? $300, $400, $500? There's a real easy way to find out. Just go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Thank you.
Helping you win the water cooler wars. Tom Hartman here with you. 866-303-2270, your telephone number. Joe in Tampa, Florida. It says here you disagree with me, so you go to the front of the line. What's up?
Good afternoon, Tom. I'm surprised that you're not smarter to know that all tax cuts help the economy. I can't believe you don't know that.
How does, first of all, Joe, if you can't call it a tax cut if there's not a budget surplus. Because if there's not a budget surplus, it's not a tax cut. It is deferring the tax to a future time or a future generation. So how, and since we haven't had a budget surplus since the Revolutionary War, in fact, we were in debt then, how can you say that borrowing money from our children or grandchildren and spending it now is a good thing?
I don't say that. And what we're actually talking about are not tax cuts. We're talking about tax rate reductions. And those tax rate reductions, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, have led to increased revenue going to the Treasury. The fact that we don't have a balanced budget is because spending has gone up faster than revenue has gone up.
Joe, you need to go back and look at your numbers. When Reagan cut taxes, revenue went down.
No, revenue went up, Tom.
When Clinton raised taxes, revenue went up.
Yeah, absolutely. Revenue
every
went
year,
up.
Every
exactly
year revenue does go up because the economy grows, Joe. But it didn't go up as much as it should have if he hadn't cut taxes.
Tom?
If you go back and look
what?
At Joe, go
the
back.
The economy does what, Tom?
The economy continues to grow. Our population is growing, Joe. Our money supply is growing. The revenue into the federal government has continuously grown, essentially since the founding of this country. But if you look at the revenue of this country, at the federal revenue, going back to the 1930s, and I'm serious. Do your homework rather than try to do dueling sound bites. We've done this on this show where I've just gone through year by year from 1930. You can go back actually to 1913 when the federal income tax first went into place. When the tax got cut in 1920, for example, revenue dropped. When the tax went up in the 1930s, revenue went up. Now, revenue didn't actually dropped negative when the taxes were cut, but it didn't grow as much as it should have given the growth of the overall economy. And the reality is, Joe, and I know that you've been believing these talking points. I'm sure you believe them sincerely.
It's not a talking point,
but,
Tom.
But when Bill Clinton raised taxes,
you have less money in your pocket.
When Bill Clinton raised actually it's not a fact, Joe. But number one, when Bill Clinton raised taxes, it raised the revenue to the federal government. We actually ended up with a balanced budget. And number two, no, when you cut taxes on people earning so much money that most of their money is not going to necessities, you're right. They have more money in their pocket. In other words, when you cut taxes on the rich, they end up with more money in their pocket. When you cut taxes, and it doesn't affect their long-term income, when you cut taxes on working people, what happens over time is that their wages go down. And the math on this is really simple. You can look at it. It's very straightforward. The tax rates on working people were fairly flat or consistent. They were in tracking inflation. But from 1935 up until the 1980s, until Reagan's tax cuts, you saw, steady increases in taxes on working people and steady increases in wages on working people. But wages were by and large tracking productivity. Wages were consistently going up. The wages on working people, particularly working men, have been not only flat since 1982, they have actually declined by about $2,500 per person since 1982. And the reason, one of the reasons why, is because when you cut somebody's taxes who is spending 100% of their income, their employer, if your employer knows that you're willing to work for $50,000 a year net, and they have to pay you $70,000 a year for you to end up with that $50,000, and you get a tax cut, so that now that $70,000 quote salary you're taking that's actually $50,000 in your pocket, now that $70,000 salary is ending up with $60,000 in your pocket, but your employer knows that you'll work for $50,000, it's not going to happen immediately. It's not going to happen in a week. But over the course of the next year or two, don't you think that employer is going to figure out some way to recover that $10,000? Because they know you'll work for $50,000. And that's what's happened.
That's only if you're in a non-competitive vacuum, and there are other taxes besides income taxes.
That's right, and we are in a non-competitive vacuum because there is no competition for labor because labor unions have, by and large, which provided competition for labor, have gone away. You only have competition for labor if you have a zero unemployment situation or if you have barriers to the employment of labor like labor unions represent. So we have a situation right now where anybody is willing to do pretty much anything to get some money.
Anybody can choose to work two jobs.
And you're suggesting, Joe, that the American dream, the American ideal should be that if you want to have a decent standard of living, you have to choose to work two jobs?
No, I'm not suggesting that at all.
Well, that's the consequence of the policies that you're advocating.
No, it's not. The consequence of the policies that I would advocate would be that we would have a balanced budget, that the government would be much smaller, and that people would have much more money in their own pockets, and the economy would be much better.
Okay, so half the federal budget is defense. How much of that do you want to cut?
How much defense budget do I want to cut? I want to bring every troop overseas out of Europe, out of Korea, that those countries are not paying for.
Okay, I'll go along with that, Joe. We finally found a small point of agreement. Thanks for the call. Good to talk to you. 28 minutes? What is it? The clock is wrong. 27 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Some TARP, 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. And, boy, my apologies for that bumper if that went over the line. I think somehow we missed that. Anyhow, time for the circular firing, the liberal circling circular firing squad.
You know it's nice when the postman has a
letter. No, I'm sorry. Yes, well, actually,
because
yeah.
The mail must go through.
It is the mail. And here's our mail message.
Tom, been enjoying your show. This is Keith from Chicago. Been enjoying your show until yesterday when you confessed that you voted for Ralph Nader in the 2000 election. Tom, it's because of guys like you that election was allowed to get close enough for Bush to steal it. So quite frankly, you lost a heck of a lot of your credibility with me. I mean, you can go on intellectualizing every point of life, but the fact remains you voted for Nader and participated in Bush stealing the election. Thanks a lot, buddy.
You're welcome. Yep, the liberal circular firing squad out in droves. Okay, here's the rest of the story. Louise and I lived in Vermont. We knew that Vermont was going to go for Al Gore. There was no doubt about it. We split our vote. Louise voted for Gore. I voted for Nader because I wanted the Green Party, which is the major advocate of instant runoff voting in the United States. First of all, I agreed with what Ralph Nader had to say. I'll just tell you that right up front. And had we lived in Florida, I would have voted for Al Gore. I would not have voted for Nader. But because we have the Electoral College in this country, in Vermont, I had the luxury of doing that. And number one, I agreed with what he said. Number two, I wanted the Green Party to get the federal matching funds. I wanted them to hit that 5% threshold so they get federal matching funds in the future, particularly for state and local elections, because in over 300 communities in the United States now, we have instant runoff voting, San Francisco being the largest. And in 100% of the cases, it's been because of the Green Party. In every single case, it was fought tooth and nail by both the Republicans and the Democrats. And I think that we need those voices to be heard. And that's why I voted for Ralph Nader in 2000. And I'm not apologizing for it. I think it was had I lived in Florida, I would be apologizing to you. And had I done that. But had I lived in Florida, I wouldn't have been dumb enough to do that. Anyhow, Sharon in Deer Island, Oregon. Hey, Sharon, what's on your mind?
Good morning. First of all, thank you very much for keeping us in the loop. Appreciate all that you do and all that you bring to our attention.
Thank you.
I'm an older woman, and my roommate is an older woman. We've been friends for a long time, and we're roommates because that's how we can afford to live. And I was listening to the radio this morning, and they were talking about, as I recall, they were saying that the tax benefits would benefit mostly the people that earned $100,000 or above. Is that correct?
Yeah, in that neighborhood, say plus or minus $20,000 of $100,000, about 70% of all of this tax cut is going to the upper middle class by virtue of rolling back the alternative minimum tax, the AMT.
Well, isn't it amazing? What do the Congress people make as a salary?
Yeah, it's about $160,000 a year, I think. It's going to roll back their alternative minimum tax as well. I don't think it's quite that selfish, Sharon, though. The rolling back the alternative minimum tax is something that Barack Obama campaigned on. It's something that, you know, was politically, you know, he had no choice. My take on this is that it should have been in a separate bill. I don't have a problem with tax cuts for middle-class people. I think that there should be much larger tax cuts, frankly, for people who are earning very, very little money and much higher taxes on people who are so heavily using our commons that they have millions or tens of millions of dollars flowing through their accounts every year. If you look at the history of this country, from 1935 until 1981, when the top tax rate was 70% or above, you did not have any bubbles. There were no bubbles because you didn't have rich people with so much money floating around that they didn't know what to do with it, and so they started throwing it at things. And in 1980, the average CEO was making 30 times what the average worker was because it just didn't make sense. After the first up till $3.2 million in today's money, it was like 100,000 bucks back then or something like that. But up until about $3 million in today's money, you were taxed like everybody else was taxed, but above that, bang, it goes up to 70%. And before, Reagan, before LBJ dropped it from 91% down to 74% in 64. So, during that time, we didn't have bubbles. We had a solid, stable economy. We didn't have the uber rich. We didn't have this enormous flow of wealth going up, and we had a strong and stable middle class. You drop the taxes on the ultra rich, and what they had to do, what Reagan had to do, was put into place the largest tax increase on working people in the history of the United States. That was in 1982 when he doubled the Social Security tax. But go ahead.
I'm sorry. Speaking of Social Security, that's the second thing I called about. I hope you don't mind.
Finish it.
I agree with everything you said. Why can't Congress put together a bill that would allow Medicare and Medicaid to put together a plan with the large pharmaceutical companies so that they have some say in how much they have to pay for the medication?
Yeah.
I know Kaiser does, so
right.
Why doesn't the government?
Doesn't because of a guy named Billy Towson and a guy named Tom DeLay. When Congress passed the Medicare Part D, what this little gotcha that they put into Medicare was they said that the government is forbidden by law from negotiating with pharmaceutical companies for the drugs that are being sold to people. And Sharon, thanks for bringing this up. And Billy Towson then got a waiver from Congress to leave early before his term expired to go take a $1 million a year job as the head of pharma, the pharmaceutical industry lobbying group. This was a multi-hundred-billion-dollar gift, a big, wet kiss on the cheek to the pharmaceutical companies, maybe a kiss on the lips to the pharmaceutical companies. Billy Towson shepherded the thing through and pushed it like crazy. Tom DeLay, all the Republicans, a piece of this. Democrats fought it like crazy. They didn't have the power. The Republicans controlled Congress at the time. So it passed. It got through. And they have been, as the pharmaceutical companies are wont to do, robbing, raping, and pillaging America ever since. And it is something that I hope this Congress will do something about, and frankly must. And the other way to solve the Social Security / Medicare problem is to do away with the cap. Right now, if you work for a living, if your income's under $100,000 a year, you have to pay, and your employer has to match the tax for Social Security and for Medicare. If you make over $100,000 a year, you don't have to pay that Social Security tax at all, not one penny after that first $100,000, more or less. And that's crazy. Why is it that Bill Gates is paying, a thousandth of a percent of his income or whatever it is, some tiny fraction of his income, and this is, no slam on Bill, but why is it that somebody with an enormous income is not paying the same percentage of their income on as Social Security tax as the rest of us, as working people in America? Why not? It's wrong. And so, and that would just make it a flat tax, by the way. That wouldn't even make it progressive. If we simply did away with the cap on Social Security, so that rich people, because right now there's a cap that says rich people don't pay Social Security taxes, only working people do. That's how it's set up. If we did away with that cap and said everybody gets to pay Social Security taxes, then you would have a flat tax. Where's Steve Forbes when you need him? Oh, he's opposed to that. He's opposed to that flat tax because that's Social Security and that's socialism. Phew. Tom in Oceanside, California. Hey, Tom, what's up?
How you doing, Tom? First of all, I'd like to say make them filibuster.
Yeah, amen.
And then secondly, here in California, the budget's real bad for the state, and it's trickling down to the municipalities, and yeah. I actually work for one. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of talks with our union about trying to make cuts. My question for you, would it be legal for municipalities, say a city here in California, to impose a fee on the owner of a home? Now, I mean like a bank. Say a bank has a foreclosed home in our city. Can we impose a fee on them, $100 a month, which would get some of that money that we bailed out the banks down to the municipalities and, distribute it?
Yeah, it would generate some revenue for the towns. I honestly don't know if that would run afoul of any federal laws that have to do with or might protect banks, you know, by virtue of calling it regulation, or whether that would run afoul of, you know, the Commerce Clause. I doubt it. I don't really answer the question, but it's a thought-provoking one, Tom. It's an interesting one. And given the fact that right now, you could narrow it a little. Right now, one out of every nine homes in America is vacant. One out of every nine homes in America is vacant because of this foreclosure disaster. And you could make the argument as a municipality, I believe, that a vacant home in a municipality is a net liability to the municipality. It is more likely to be set on fire by an arsonist because there's nobody living there to protect it. It is more likely to be damaged by vandals. It's more likely to be broken into by people seeking to steal whatever may be of value there, even if it's the wiring and the plumbing. It is, and so therefore it needs more police protection, it needs more fire protection, and therefore if it is an empty home, the owner, and as you point out, in most cases these are going to be the banks, particularly if they've been foreclosed on, they're almost always going to be the banks. Therefore the municipality can say, you know, we're going to tax empty homes at the rate of $300 a month or whatever for the extra cost of police and fire that is associated with them. And that might be enough to encourage the banks to A, make it easier for somebody to get into that home, or B, be a little less aggressive about foreclosing people out of their homes in the first place.
That was my point exactly. Yeah. And one other quick thing, maybe you can expound upon it later.
Quickly, Tom.
How is it that we're only getting like $13 a week tax cut?
It's 33. Well, yeah, it's a 33 every other week. That's about what it works out to on the average. I mean, the bottom line is when you take, you know, the median income in the United States, $54,000 a year. You got a lot of people making $20,000, $30,000 a year. They're not paying any income taxes, and so it just works out to very little.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
What is wrong with this man, Michael Steele?
Randy Rhodes.
First of all, he told congressional Republicans the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful. And then he attacked Democrats for being the obstructionist.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
And the only thing worse than stupidity is being proud of your stupidity.
3 to 6.
And the only thing worse than being proud about your stupidity is being proud and hypocritical about your stupidity.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
So, what are you going to do this weekend?
Well, I've made up my list of the top-rated TVs, so now I'm going to go to all the stores and check out their prices.
You're going to go to Best Buy and Circuit City and Costco and Fry's and...
I know, it's a lot of work, but how else do I figure out the best places to buy a TV?
You could check the latest consumer ratings.
They rated stores?
Yes, they did. Stores were rated for price and selection and service and even checkout speed.
Great! Those ratings will save me a lot of time. Who won?
For buying a TV, the top-rated stores in this area were video only.
Really? Video only was rated higher than Best Buy and Circuit City?
Yep. I guess all that don't be sorry stuff is true.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or computers, but you will find the best deals on HD TVs, Blu-rays, cameras, camcorders, and home theater systems. Shop around. Just make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
In Jansen Beach, Clackamas, Beaverton, and Salem, video only.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's a powerful secret that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-6475. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better, debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information. For the secret that credit card companies don't want you to know, call 1-800-400-6475. That's 1-800-400-6475. 1-800-400-6475.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Boy, this day has flown by. Thanks so much to Louise Hartman, to our executive producer, Sean Taylor, to Stephanie Whiteman, to Shelly Osterberger, to Marcus Hillman, Michael McDonald, all the folks at Air America, to Sue Nethercutt and the folks in our chat room, and Mike Toth, who does our audio archives on our program, on our website, Alva Goldbook, who's doing some video archives for us, to our affiliates, our sponsors, and to you for listening to our program. Thank you so much. Ellen Ratner, and thank you, Ellen. Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com in Washington, D.C. What's up, Ellen?
Stimulus package that passed, you may already know about it, $783.2 billion in the House, 243 to 180, 241 Democrats yes, 7 no, 6 did not vote, 1 voted present, Republicans 0 voted yes, and 180 no, 1 no vote.
Right. The Republicans are lining this up as their campaign issue for the 2010 campaign because, you know, the economy is not going to be in wonderful shape in November of 2010. And the Republicans are going to say, see, we told you so.
Right. And that is exactly why he may have the kind of loss that Clinton had in the midterms.
Yeah.
When
that's what the Republicans are counting on. And it's all going to depend on how the Democrats play it. Clinton didn't see it coming. These guys now should be able to see this coming.
Yeah, you can't miss it, I don't think. Larry Summers today spoke at, I believe it was a Sterling breakfast. He said this wasn't a silver bullet. He said we don't have alternatives. He said it was the biggest fiscal expansion in the country's history, but he said it was a multi-part strategy. And what he's talking about that is now what they're going to be happening in terms of the banks. And Barney Frank also talked about the banks today. In terms of the banks, Geithner also said that he's going to unveil details of a housing recovery plan. Barney Frank said that this is going to include $50 billion in cost-cutting cutting housing payments to people who can't afford their mortgages. They want to cut the loan principal to what people can't afford. They want to do a payment to income ratio so people are not paying more than 31% of their income for house payments. But they said if they're not going to be Warren Buffett. The goal is to help people, not necessarily to make money for the government.
Right. Well, that's nice, I guess.
I guess it is. Barney Frank also said that in terms of the pay caps legislation, he said by this summer. And he said that the public does not support the bailouts, but they want to get money to the banks. They want to do it when the public approves.
Yeah. I continue to say the solution here is very straightforward. Sweden did it, and it worked. Great Britain is doing it right now. Roosevelt did it in the 30s. Either Reagan or Bush the first did it with the SNLs. I think it was toward the end of the Reagan's terms that the SNL meltdown happened. And that is that we need to say, instead of putting $300 billion into the bank as a gift, we need to put it into their stock and buy them and say, okay, we now own you, and the guys who did this to us are fired. They're out on their butts. And we're going to put competent people in there. We're going to run these banks back to profitability. And when they become profitable, we'll sell them back into the marketplace.
Right. Well, good point. Good point. We'll see what happens. Also, something very interesting that I think I may have discussed with you on this program once, that it looked like the Pakistanis were really cooperating with us. And at one point telling their own population, oh, no, we're not helping them, you know, United States bad, but at the same time helping us. And apparently, I think I told you that there were reports that their very own FAA was vectoring in our own aircraft. Well, apparently, Di Fi from California, as a chairperson of the Senate Intelligence Committee, has said that their Predator aircraft has been done with Pakistan's approval. President this morning talked to the Business Council. He talked about losing 3.6 million jobs since the beginning of the recession, 600 in the last month. He said that now they're going to save and create 3.5 million jobs. But nobody's really talking about it, and I think you and I have talked about this. He said 90% of that is going to be in the private sector. But nobody's talking about the fact that we now are going to have about 3 million people graduating from high school and college every year. And where are we going to grow the economy to get those jobs? In fact, rumor has it that the lobbyists took a lot of the broadband out of this bill, out of the stimulus bill. Hmm. And broadband is really where we can create wealth, where we can create fiber. I mean, imagine if you and I had fiber between your studio and ours. We could do high-quality TV programs for pennies on the dollar.
Right. Right. And now everything is dependent upon very expensive satellites, which we're seeing are increasingly vulnerable to space collisions with space crud. You know, it's becoming quite problematic.
Right. They fall out of the sky, they blow up, et cetera.
Yeah.
Just a couple things. I was also at the United Nations today, and they are really worried again about Gaza. There are areas they say they do not have access for civilians, and the border crossings remain closed, even though the Gazans, even though the Israelis have supposedly made a deal with Hamas.
Hmm. Interesting.
And also APL Limited, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Singapore Neptune Orient Lines, has been fined 26.3 million dollars for fraud. It is million, because they submitted false claims for inflated shipping costs to Iraq and Afghanistan.
In other words, one more time, we discover that this law or this invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan was a giant opportunity for fraud. And now we see Susan Collins stripping whistleblower protection for people who point out fraud out of the financial stimulus bill. It's like you'd think we'd learn. Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Great. Thank you. You too. On Monday, I'll be challenging Carrie Lucas. She's concerned the more women are working and men are laid off. Is this what feminists had in mind? Plus, who's fighting for the rights of the unemployed? We'll tell you all about that. Plus, the best of the rest of the news. And don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Get out there, get active, tag, you're it. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.